Open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're in a series of messages I'm calling warning signs. We've been learning from the mistakes, the faults, the failures, the sins of Israel after God brought them out of Egypt. We spent some time thinking about the golden calf and the sin of idolatry, replacing God with something else. We considered the 12 spies and their unbelief as they went into the promised land. And despite it being all that God had told them was going to be, they said, "We can't take this land." And they turned back. Last week we looked at Moses as he went to the rock. And instead of following God's instructions, he struck the rock. And he illustrated the act of rebellion for us and warned us that we will lose so many blessings if we rebel against God. These sins, they are root sins. These are the fundamental errors that wreck and ruin us. Idolatry and unbelief and rebellion. All of the sins that we commit, they really fall under those categories. If only there were a way for us to know how to avoid those sins. If only there were some way we could know to take a different direction. Well, as you would know, we have that for us. God has provided it for us here in His Word. Thank the Lord He's told us what we can do. Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 11, would you please stand as we read our sermon text this morning? Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, "Who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Or is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, "Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?" No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven, the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for giving to us your word. Open our ears and our hearts that we might receive it by faith. And may your Spirit apply it to us so that it might take root and bear much fruit for your glory and for our good. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We come along to crossroads and we need directions. We need to know where to go and how to go. And we need signs. We need signs to help us to know where we need to turn and where we don't need to turn. There are, along the roadways, signs that say, "Do not enter." There are signs that say, "One way," or "Stay left," or "Stay right," or wherever. We need good signs on our roads. And we need good signs in our lives. And God here has made His way very clear to us. He's given us very clear signage for our lives. He has given to us His Word to guide and to direct us. First of all, God has made His Word available and accessible to all of us. We see this in verses 11 to 14. God has not hidden away the Bible. He's not hidden away His Word or His will. We don't have a mystery religion where we have to try to figure out what God wants. We don't have to piece it together like some puzzle. We don't have to sit and ponder the utterances of some sage. God has spoken very clearly to us. God spoke. It was written down by prophets as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21 says, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible that we have isn't just a mere human contraption or configuration. It's not just something that people put together along the way. It is something that has come to us through the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit. This Bible is God's Word to us. And of course, the Bible simply points us to God's ultimate revelation, God's most clear and perfect Word to us, and that is Jesus Christ. John 1 says that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God, and He is the Word, God's clear revelation to us. John 5, verse 39, Jesus says that the very Scriptures testify about Him. God has spoken to us. He has revealed to us what He wants for our lives, and He's shown us very clearly. And there is amazing unity throughout the Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, there is amazing unity. And there is amazing unity among Christian believers. All Christians believe that there is one God who is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All Christians believe that God created and rules all that exists. Christians believe, and the Bible teaches us, that humanity has fallen into sin and that we need salvation. And all Christians, and the Bible clearly teaches us, that God loves people. So Jesus came into the world and died to be our Savior, and He rose again to give us eternal life. And we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus. It is so very clear. And the Bible tells us that we ought to live our lives for Him. We look at the Bible and we hear it and we receive it by faith, and we know what God wants from us. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible. Follow that F260 reading plan at the bottom of your bulletin, or follow the Bible reading plan that you are using, or if you have never engaged in the Bible before, if you've never followed along, just pick a book, pick the Gospel of John. Take the Gospel of John and start reading one chapter every day. And keep reading it, and don't stop until you're done. Read the Bible and talk to somebody about what you read, and God will show you His will and show you His way. God has given to the church preachers and teachers and books and amazing resources to help us know and understand the Bible. But most beautifully, most preciously, God has given to us His Bible. He's given to us His Word, and He's made it available and accessible to you. You can read it. You can spend your entire life reading it. As soon as children learn to read, they ought to be reading the Bible. Moms and dads, get your kids to read the Bible. Are there things in there they don't understand? Yeah, probably. But they keep reading it, they'll learn. You are not too old to start reading the Bible for yourself. Don't get to heaven and show up and meet Isaiah and say, "Oh, I'm really sorry, I never read your book." How embarrassed would you be at that? We're crying out loud. The guy gave us the book here. Read it. And listen to what God has to say. He's made it available to you and accessible to you. We have Bible translations, and you can read them. You can listen to it on your phone. I found out on Netflix, you can watch the Bible on TV. They're reading it and there are people acting it out. And it's amazing. Get in the book. Because God has made it available to you. He wants to give you direction for your life. So many of us are so confused, and we don't have to be. All we have to do is listen to what He says. Number two, God in His Word tells us the truth about the choice that we have before us. Verses 15 to 18. God has spoken to us, and He makes it so abundantly clear what it is we have to choose. Have any of you been to one of those restaurants with that new Coke freestyle machine? I like it because I can get exactly what I want. But what I don't like is whenever I get behind somebody who's never encountered one of these things before. I got behind a lady, and I don't know, there's like 3,000 choices on this machine. And she's going to go through every single one. I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and my burrito, it is getting cold. And I'm thinking, I just want some root beer. Come on. And she's going through, and what does she do? Does she get Coke with orange and lime? Does she get Sprite with grape? No, she just gets regular Coke. I'm thinking, you could have got that the very first time. You know, that Coke machine, it's got 1,000 options on it, but when it comes to the Bible, there are only two options. It is not complicated. It is so very simple. He lays it out for us right here. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. That's pretty clear. Two choices, two options. Life and prosperity. What does God mean by that? God is the source and sustainer of life. Every good thing comes from Him. God is the originator of every good blessing. And so the choice that we have is to choose God and choose life and enjoy all the good that God has for us. Yes, even as Abigail and Sarah were singing, sometimes we go through difficulties and challenges and pain and sorrow and grief through life, but those are just the shell casings in which God brings abundant blessings on us. Every difficulty we have as believers is simply a vehicle to bring God's blessing and goodness to us when we give ourselves to Him. Choose life. The other option is death and destruction, which means to turn away from God, to turn away from life. It means when you turn away from God, you are turning to a false god, whether it's some idol that those Old Testament folks worshipped or some idol of the heart that we've established in our world today, or even worshiping and serving ourselves. We are turning away from God, and when we do that, we turn to that thing which is dead and deaf and dumb and will provide no help to us whatsoever, but ultimately destroy us. And if you turn away from God, you are embracing death and destruction. So why don't more people choose God? If it's this clear, why don't more people choose to give themselves to Christ and surrender their lives to Him? Well, it's because Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way that appears to be right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. What happens is we think we know better than God. We ignore God and we choose to go in our own direction because we don't want Him to tell us what to do. And quite honestly, death seems pretty appealing at times. Oh, it doesn't appear that way. Max and Garrett, I want you to imagine that I have two big bowls up here. In one bowl, I have broccoli and cauliflower and lettuce and carrots and Brussels sprouts. And in the other bowl over here, I have candy. Lots of candy. And I said, you can pick from one of these. Which one are you going to choose? No, wait a minute. Hold on. What if I told you that the candy was really poisoned? What would you do then? Tough choice. You know what? That's the way life is. We look at that bowl of veggies and we say, oh, I would rather have the candy. And we think when we are faced with the Lord or my way, what I want, pleasure, we think, oh, it's just like eating a bowl of cauliflower. Who wants that? That is so disgusting. Oh. You guys are different. I know. Only kid I've ever met in the entire world that likes cauliflower. We choose based on these appetites. We say, I think I'll risk the poison and I'll eat the candy. And then it kills us. And see, when we ignore God, we say, Lord, to follow you, that just sounds like broccoli. That sounds like Brussels sprouts. Who wants that? I want Reese's Cups and Snickers. And we're just ingesting the poison. And for a little while it's good, and then it kills us. It destroys us. There's a way that seems right to a person, but in the end it leads to death. You see, the reason that the world and the devil is so appealing is he covers up the hook with candy. Or if you're a fish, a worm. And he lies to us. And we buy into it every time. If only we would follow God's directions and take what we don't necessarily think we want, but really it's the source of life and it sustains us. And you know, I'm not one of them, obviously, but I've talked to people who eat healthy and they say, you really do develop an appetite for the good stuff. And then you eat the bad stuff and you don't want that no more. God will give us an appetite for what's good if we'll just choose Him. And we'll follow Him. So this morning, I want you to understand that God urges us in His Word to choose life. Verses 19 and 20. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life. What does it mean? What does it look like to choose life? Well, he makes it very clear for us in verse 20. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. So choosing life means, number one, loving God. It means to put Him first and supreme in your affections. How do we love God? How do we learn to love God more? How do we learn to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? And the key to this is the cross. If you're going to love God, you have to contemplate the cross. You have to understand that though we are sinners, God sent His Son to die on the cross for us, showing us His unfathomable love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. God loves us so much that He was willing to suffer the death of His Son. And Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to lay down His life for us. No one could love you more or better than Jesus did. Not even your mama. As much as she loves you, Jesus loves you infinitely more. On the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead, announcing that His death was completely and sufficiently satisfactory to atone for every single sin you committed, past, present, and future. And that through Christ, God forgives you of all of your sins and makes you His forever child, a member of His eternal family. We love God because He first loved us. And when we consider His love, how can we not love Him in return? You choose life when you love God. Number two, you choose life when you listen to His voice. In John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice and they listen to me. Let God guide you. Put God first in everything that you do, in every choice that you make. You ask, what would God have me do? Do everything that He says in His Word, and then make wise choices that line up with love and devotion for the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Don't listen to the world. Don't be drawn away by false and deceptive voices. Listen to His Word. And then third, hold fast to Him. Don't let go and don't turn away. It happened again this morning. Little Gabriel Brown was running around. And he's got this big smile on his face. He's running around. And all of a sudden he comes around the corner and he just comes to a complete stop. He sees me and he's looking and he turns around and he runs for his mama as fast as he can. Every single time. I mean, I can't blame the kid. You know, you see a big ugly guy, you get away from him. Toddlers know instinctively, run back to mama. Now here's the thing. We want our toddlers to grow up to be kids and adolescents and teenagers and then responsible young men and women. Our goal is to be like those birds that push their little birdies out of the nest so they can learn to fly. That's what we do. But when they're toddlers, when they're little bitty, they stay close to mama. Listen, as a believer, you always stay close to the Lord. You hold fast to Him more tightly than Gabe holds to his mama's leg when I'm around. Hold tightly to Jesus. Hold fast to the Lord. Don't run away. Here's the question that I want you to think about this morning. Is God your life? Is He your life? Is He your all? This week you're going to come to some crossroads. You're going to have decisions to make. God's way or your way? Will you be guided by love for God since He loves you? Will you listen to His voice through His Word and be guided by His Spirit? Will you hold fast to God and be faithful and true to Him or not? March 20th, the news reported a terrible tragedy coming out of Virginia. A charter bus early in the morning crashed on I-95, killing two people and sending 54 to the hospital. Due, it is believed, to a cluster of confusing signs that disoriented the driver and sent him down the wrong path. There are a lot of voices in the world today that are clamoring for your attention. But if you will listen, God's voice rings loud and clear, and He will point you to the way of life if you'll only listen. Trust and believe. We just have to follow Him. Will you? Let's pray. Oh Lord, may we give careful attention to what You are saying to us today. You have set before us life and death. May we choose life, the life that comes through You, the life that comes by faith in Christ, who loves us and gave His life for us. May we be guided by Your Word and not by popular opinion or social convention. But may we stay faithful and true to You. Grant today that we might love You and listen to You and stay fast beside You. In Jesus' name, amen.